what they have to do a second time, we will see. But all that Rav Nechemia is saying is that a conversion which is visibly for non-sincere motives is invalid. Ha'itma Allah. However, the Gemara says, the reaction to the statement of Rav Nechemia was, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Malka m'shmei d'Rav, Halacha k'divrei ha'omer kulam gerim. The law is not like Rav Nechemia, that even if the conversion has taken place for an ulterior purpose, for a non-sincere reason, nevertheless the conversion is valid. Ihachi, if that's the case, if the conversion is valid, why don't we accept converts? So the Gemara says, Mishum de Rabasi. The Rabasi haser mimcha ikshut peber lazut tzvasai. Remove from yourself all possible gossip. Tana Rabbanan, and then there's another brayta which supports this position. Ein mekablin gerim limot haMashiach. We don't accept converts at the time of Mashiach. Ki yotzei bo lo kiblu gerim lo bimei David velo bimei Shlomo. That they didn't accept converts in the time of the greatness of the kingdoms of Israel, in the time of King David and King Solomon. Amar Rabbi Eliezer mar kra. That he is a proselyte who is converted for my own sake, but he who lives with you shall be settled among you. He only who lives with you in your poverty shall be settled with you, but no other. That's Yomah. Tosfos already raises an issue that from other stories that we find in the Gemara and in the Tanakh, converts were accepted, even though the reasons were quite clearly not 100% sincere. The Tosfos, which I have on my page 3. Lo bimei David, lo bimei Shlomo. Tosfos says, Ve'itai hagiti u'bat paro, famous converts that took place in the time of David, or in the case of bimei Shlomo, lo kashet, those aren't problems. The midi u'tai ma'ele mishim shulchan mo'achim. We were talking about people who are being converted to be able to be attached to the king. Then stable, behind the they were already wealthy and famous in their own right, and therefore did not need to be attached to the king's table to establish themselves. The Gemara says that there were 150,000 converts who were converted to Judaism in the time of King David. So Tosfos says, "V'yesh lo mader mi'atzmon nitgaru," that perhaps the conversions weren't strictly accepted by an official court. Kiviyashkuchan gabi mordechai di Esther, where it says, "V'rabim me'amei ha'aretz mityadim," that many of people converted in the time of Mordechai di Esther. I don't know that the phrase mityadim necessarily has to be translated as converted. All of the Mefarshim do translate it that way, but perfectly acceptable reason that the Yahadim would be pretended to be Jewish, right? Pass themselves off, huh? No, I mean simply pretended to be Jewish. During the time of the wars, they simply decided to put on the clothing of the winning side, so it doesn't necessarily mean that they actually converted, but most of the Mefarshim take the Yahadim to mean actually became Jews. So the Gemara Tosu says, "V'yesh svarim shekatav behem lo kiblu gerim lo bidei David lo nishlomo la shenasu gerim gur," that they were simply dragged along. They were sort of semi-converts or suspected converts, and then if their actions proved themselves to be true Jews later, then they were accepted. Behind the parak beis the Shabbat, there's a story in Shabbos, a famous story. Ahuda atala kamid the Hillel biyamar gairuli amanat laasod leasod kohen gadol. Someone came to Shmuel to Hillel Hazaken and saw all of the accoutrements of the high priest and said, "I want to become converted so I can become a high priest." And there Hillel converted him and then slowly let him learn that not only couldn't a convert become high priest, but even an ordinary Jew couldn't be a high priest unless he was from the family of the Kohanim. and he remained a loyal Jew. But here is a situation where explicitly the man came with an agenda, namely being a high priest, became going down. So Tosus gives an interesting answer. Batuach haya Hillel, the sofo lasot l'shem shamayim. That even though the man came with an explicit purpose, a non-sincere ulterior motive, Hillel was sufficient, was convinced in his own mind that this man would turn around and really convert for sincere and true reasons. So, of course, with this particular ruling, Tosfos is taking the guts out of this particular halacha in some sense, because Tosfos is now saying that it's up to the court, even though there are reasons to suspect that the person has an ulterior motive, if the court really becomes convinced that this story is going to end well, that this woman or this man, whoever it is converting, is not just going to be doing it purely for the ulterior motive, but will learn what the right thing is and then act accordingly, then we can accept this convert. So therefore, even though the Gemara says that we don't accept converts when it's for an ulterior motive, Tosfos now is beginning to rule against the Gemara in some sense by simply saying that it's up to the local courts. And Tosfos then brings another support for this. V'chein ha'hiba ha'tchelet. There's a story in the Gemara Menachot of how important tzitzit is, wearing tzitzits are. Because it is a story of a man who heard about a famous prostitute living far away with a very high price, and he decided that he had to try her, and then he went over there and paid some huge fee or whatever it was, and she was sitting on the top of a high bed, and as he was climbing up the bed to get to her, his tzitzis hit him in the face, and he was suddenly reminded of his duties and obligations and ceased and desisted. And then she asked him what the problem was, and then he told her about the mitzvah of tzitzis, and then she decided that he's such a sincere person that she said, write down your name and address and what school you go to. And she got this slip of paper, and then she sold all of her belongings and gave part of it to charity, and then came to the school and went to wherever the Rosh Yeshiva then was. There's conflicting details as to who the Rosh Yeshiva is. Some text happened by the mayor, and said that I want to marry man, and he accepted her as a convert. In any event, the main point of the story in the Nachot is to teach us about the importance of wearing tzitzis, but the Tosfos points out that here Rabbi Meir accepted this woman as a convert, even though she explicitly came and wanted to be converted so that she could marry this young man. So nevertheless, Tosfos says that this probably was also because of the fact that Rabbi Meir was convinced by her sincerity. Rashi pointed out that if she had the slip of paper and she did all of these things, so that must show that she was really a sincere person. So in any event, the ruling of Tosfos is a theoretical one. He finds a conflict between some stories in the Gemara on this particular ruling, and comes to a decision that the local courts can decide, can use their own judgment. For Tosfos, this is probably not in any way a practical problem. That is, there certainly were conversions in the Middle Ages and the early parts from up until the 19th century, there probably were occasional conversions, but remember that it was a capital offense. That is, in the Christian countries, it was an offense against Christianity to convert to Judaism, and in the Muslim countries, it was an offense against the Muslim law. So that therefore, although we have cases of heroes who actually were converts, nevertheless, the actual numbers were probably very small. So this Tosfos was not representing an actual practical case, but rather most likely a theoretical position. In fact, I did a bit of a computer search in trying to get materials prepared for this shiur, and under the heading of Gayer and all related matters, I found that from the period of the Rishonim, there were maybe a dozen or less entries, and from the period of the through the 16th century, there were also something like under 20 entries. But when I hit the 17th to the 19th centuries, it shot up to about 800, and for the 20th century, it shot up to about 2,000. So that
becoming more of a problem.
It's becoming more of a problem. Yes.
As an aside, I don't want to waste your time with this, but there's one of our named a couple of them, really Moshe Moshiach, because it didn't happen at the time that King David came to Shlomo HaMelech.
Isn't that a bit presumptuous? I mean,
what the Mashiach decided?
Yeah, that is a bit presumptuous. However, again, it was a theoretical consideration. The first tshuva that I know of this subject, and the most important tshuva, we may have studied this in Shiuria many years ago, didn't make it to the Bar Ilan database. So I was not able to figure it out. I had to use the 19th century method of Xerox rather than the modern method of printing from a computer. But here it is, starting on my page 6. And now let's see. This is a tshuva from Shlomo Kluger. Now, we all know Shlomo Kluger in this year, and he certainly cannot be regarded as a revolutionary. I don't know when the last time was that we studied the tshuva of his, but we certainly studied his tshuva on machine matzahs, for example, when he came out against machine matzahs. But in general, he was quite a reactionary or conservative on halachic matters. But his tshuva here is fascinating precisely because he comes up with an answer opposite to what you might have expected. So this is Sheila Reish Lamed, right? On my page, what is it, 6?
He was in Kapta, right?
He was in Broad. Yeah. So that's near Lvov, I suppose, but he was in Broad. L'harav ha-chavrich ha-muflag ha-gon reino Rav Yaakov Sgan Koi ha-kelp fesdim ha-kozlov. I don't know where Kozlov is. Al dvar asher sha'al me'iti b'ma'aseh sha'alu mimenu m'mivinat Ashkenaz v'tzalfat. He got a halachic problem coming from the West. Asher sham nitan hadat ha'chadash. There were this new legislation, new rules, new constitution. V'iram ma'aseh v'yachad sha'ayav b'no ba'al milchama. It was a man whose son was a soldier. V'amad bein ha'nachrin. And he lived with the Gayim. He fell in love with a non-Jewish woman. The Zanait Makama Pa'amim. And he had intimate relations with her frequently, many times. And he came back to his father's house, Ima, with her. And she wants now to convert to Judaism. Question then came before the rabbi as to whether to convert this woman who's explicitly come back with the soldier from the army in order to marry her lover. And you requested my approval of your decision. I can't believe that it's possible that conversion is legal. But I mazhir, and I warn you, shechalila lahem la'asot shum davar, don't take any action ad she'eh lahem yishayon me'adonai ha'aretz b'sham, unless it's clear that this is not violating the governmental regulations. Shemutal la'gayra. Below zeh, without such a clear-cut permission on the part of the governmental authorities, called Varenu and Emarin Lamata in Betelim. There, everything that we say below was null and void, but Khalila Rasal Shumdabar Bilti Kohana. Now he gets to the nitty gritty. Im yihye eizeh makom sheyaseg rishayon al zeh. If there is going to be a place, if there's some never never land where the government authorities make it legal to have a conversion to Judaism, navo la'em mekadim. We will then come to the Eben Kadim. Now I'm going to skip his next discussion through this page and go down to the next page, which is page 7, I guess, about the right hand column, about 15 lines from the top. Page 8. On the left side of the right hand column, let's go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 lines from the top, it says Vahine. Do you have that? Vahine, Ladina, Kaimalan Karabanan. We decide like the Rabbanan, the Achad Shenin Gayel Shem Ish Olish, Olashem Isha, that anyone who converts for a man to marry a man or to a woman, Geir, conversion is valid, Rak Lachatchila Asur Lakabla. But we don't perform this conversion Abinitio. Vehine Hatosvot Yavamot Katbu, who vote Shach Simon Zeb Shem Abed Yosef. That really all of this depends upon the judgment of the court. The court can make a judgment call as to whether this convert will eventually become sincere, and on the basis of that can perform a conversion even if the motives for the conversion are insincere. That Rashi also says that the woman, the reason this prostitute brought this little note with her is to show that she's converting Hashem Shemayim. Umuchach mizer, the hechid of Umuchach, the kavanato Hashem Shemayim muta. In any situation where there's a presumption, that seems plausible, evident that he's doing this deeply, at least for a sincere reason, in addition to his ulterior motive, then it's permissible. Rashi said, I don't want to second guess Rashi on the story of something that happened.
I was sure that she wants to know who the person is.
You can argue with Rashi on that particular point. The issue here before us is whether or not the local court or the local rabbi has the right to overrule an apparently explicit decision in the Gemara that says that we don't accept converts who are converting for ulterior motives.
Excuse me, before he says a bet din,
yes.
And then he says a rabbi.
I said rabbi, he said bet din.
So it has to be a bet din.
Yes, but basically, obviously, it's going to be a local rabbinical authority. He may have two people along with him to constitute bet din, but it will be the rabbi who's going to be making this decision. And now he says, Vehinei b'zeh hayad ne'erali od tzad l'hakeh. There's another reason to be leaving it in this case. V'yesh lomar, d'malo asur l'kabeh l'chakilah. This ruling in the Gemara, which says that you don't allow them, don't accept this conversion, l'chakilah, haynu b'im lo ba'al adai. That's only if they've not already had intimate relations. They never had intercourse. The us takif li yitzvah. Then he is engaged in the throes of passion, or she in the throes of passion, and will do anything, even convert to Judaism, in order to be able to fulfill her desire. Us yesh chash te'enu mitgayel l'shem shemayim rak b'shvil hanata isha o isha. Aval b'va'al, in the case where they've already had intimate relations, the us lo takif li yitzvah, then the passion may not be so strong, as mutal kabla l'chadchila. U'mikol shekein b'va'al harbe pa'amim d'mutal kabla l'chadchila. V'ayom mizet tzad heter b'nidam didam. You might use this as an additional reason in our current circumstance to be lenient. Miyu ein sarif l'zeh. He says, well, you don't need these types of speculations. The balav hachi yesh kan hokacha. Here, there is definite proof that this is sincere. Kevan de dato kala, since this is a man without strong religious principles, v'dato de imlo natir lo yachzor ima l'data. If we don't allow her to convert, he will then go back to Paris or wherever it was with her. V'karov l'ishtameh, and then he can convert to Catholicism and marry in the Catholic Church. Imkei midelo l'ishtameh, since he didn't do this when he was with her all this time, v'nishar sham ima, and nevertheless stayed with her, v'chazru l'beit aviv, and then they came back to his father's house, v'uchach de da'atal l'gayel l'shem shemayim. That in itself is proof that this is not a conversion for an ulterior motive. So this is a very strong argument. He's saying, since there's a possibility of civil marriage, or in his time, since there's a possibility of a conversion and a Christian marriage, the fact that they came back to his father's house was a choice. And in the time, he says, what the Gemara was talking about was a situation where the possibility of conversion was remote for a Jew converting out of the religion, and therefore if someone wanted to marry a Jewish man, she would have to convert. But here's a situation where if all that she wants is to marry this man, they can live a non-Jewish life back in Paris. Why do they have to come to wherever it is and convert? So therefore he decides that this conversion should be accepted even lachatkila. V'lo havi l'shemish. L'kach mutar l'kabla u'l'gayra al piru sheyom yorunei ha'aretz. So his first ruling is against the Gemara, saying in a situation, because times have changed, and the possibility of a marriage between a Jew and a non-Jew exists, either because of civil marriage or, as he puts it, because of a possibility of marrying within the church, therefore, the fact that she is converting to marry him does not mean that it's a gevut for marriage, because she has the option of marrying him without the conversion, and therefore we treat it as a sincere conversion.
How does this compare to the Tas Torah?
What?
How does this compare to the Tas Torah?
We will come to that. So his first ruling is that we allow conversions nowadays, because this is obviously a generic position. Nowadays, says Shlomo Kluger, we will allow conversions for the sake of marriage because of the fact that there's always an option of marriage without conversion. Now the question is, do you allow the marriage? The Mishnah says very explicitly that this was the Gemara. He's now stricken out the ruling in the Gemara, basically. And now he has to deal with an explicit Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if a man who is suspected of maintaining intimate relations with a non-Jewish woman and she converts, we don't allow them to get married. We don't force them to be divorced, but the courts will prevent such a marriage, if possible, from taking place. And here, she wants to marry this man. Will we allow her to marry the soldier? The Mishnah says very explicitly that a man who is suspected of maintaining intimate relations with a non-Jewish woman is not allowed to marry her after she converts.
Somebody else married?
Yes, of course.
She's now been a Giyaret.
So. Now she's a Giyaret, so anyone else can marry her except this man. But that's not his problem here. This woman did not convert to marry somebody else. She wanted to marry this man. So if he's going to be consistent in his ruling, allowing her to convert isn't going to solve the problem. He has to allow her not only to convert, but he also has to allow her to marry this guy. If that's what he wants to do.
It's a better conflict. If she's married, and he jilts her. Except if she's converted, he jilts her. She's converted, right?
Yeah. She's not going to convert if she can't get married.
What was first?
Well, he has to, if he's going to allow this to take place, he has to not only overrule the Gemara, he also has to overrule the Mishnah. Isn't that right?
Yeah, sure.
The Mishnah says, the Mishnah says that a man who is suspected of having intimate relations with a non-Jewish woman, if she converts, he's not allowed to marry. The Gemara says that we don't convert them. We don't accept her as a convert. But if somebody has already accepted her as a convert, the conversion is valid. The Mishnah says that even if she's converted, we don't allow him to marry her. He has, in a previous paragraph, overruled the Gemara, saying that that no longer applies. But it doesn't help him unless he also overrules the Mishnah, which is what he's about to do. Okay? Remember, this is Shlomo Kluger writing here, not a Reformed rabbi. Okay. והנה החשש השני, etc. והנה לכאובה עלה בליבי ללמר, כיוון למפור שם בשעס, ברשי, ולכך אסור לציין מכוח לזות צפתיים. The Gemara that we studied said that the reason why we don't allow him to marry her is because of a gossip. She omrut shehakol emet. If he marries her, then they will say that the gossip that he really had intimate relations with a non-Jewish woman was true. Im kain, he's giving taking a slightly weird position, which he himself will reject in a minute. Im kain tinakta im en yadua shabaya leho, im eno modeva dava. That's only in the case where there's a rumor, where he doesn't admit to having committed this crime. Aval im yadua shabaya leho, if it's well known that he actually did already have relations with her. Im kain, lek alazut svatayim, it's not an actual gossip, it's a matter of fact. You're not going to change that by preventing him from marrying. But he says, "Achmi lashana nemuki Yosef uveishur shemach ma'af b'voi la b'vaday asul lekamsa." And we met l'chora in time with the Lord. What's if he says that the reason is not to confirm gossip? Why should it matter once it's already been established that it's as a fact rather as gossip? And then he gives the obvious answer that you don't want to make the situation of the fact of a crime more palatable than the gossip for a crime. If you're going to prevent them from marrying when there's only a rumor that they had intimate relations, then certainly it runs against common sense that you should allow it if you can, and that's the position that it takes. Okay, but let's skip this a little bit. Ah, three or four lines down from there. He said, Ach, l'fi ha'nira midvarav. From the, that's about four lines from the bottom of this paragraph. Ach, l'fi ha'nira midvarav. Shekavu lo v'shem aviv shel hanidon. You received a letter from the father of the soldier. She imlotit gayev. If she is not allowed to convert, yachzo imo l'data umukuma. He will go back to Paris with her, or wherever it was, and to her religion. Bim Kain Nireda Da Tola Ishtameh, that this young man will apostatize, will convert to Christianity in order to live with this woman. Bzevatai will tell the sign. Under those circumstances, certainly the best resolution is to allow him to marry. Kamosha Katav Dilael. Ukamosha Katvuka Ein Zeb Simon Kup Ein Zain Barama Sham Yunisham. We'll come to what it says in Simon Kup Ein Zain in a moment in the name of the Ramah. Lakach mutal lagayra elisa'en. Therefore, he says it's permissible for him to convert this woman and to marry her. Rak sheyamtinu shlosha chadashim achar hagelut. They should wait for 3 months after the conversion, mishum havchana, to determine whether a child who will be born was conceived as a Jew or not. So he simply revokes both the Gemara and the Mishnah in a case where there's danger that you don't allow the husband, the groom, the boy, to marry this girl after she... Even though the Mishnah says explicitly that we don't allow such a marriage, he says, under the present circumstances where he will leave the Jewish fold unless you allow him to marry him, we will rule against the Mishnah. Give in to the threat.
Sounds like the New York Times Sunday... read all these marriages.
You can blame it on the Shlomo Kluger.
Sound just like this. I mean, this guy was marrying this gal with a name like Mark Coughlin or something.
Well, but did she convert it? Didn't she convert it?
Yeah, well, but the rabbi performed the wedding, not the Monsignor.
Now, what is this Ramah in the Simon Kufayin Zion that he's referring to? Look at my page 9. It's a rather strange Ramah, and we'll read what the Ramah says, and then here, and also let's read what the Ramah says elsewhere, and then get back to Shlomo Kugler. So, in Sif Hei, you have it on my page 9? Hanit an ala pnuya. Suppose a man, there's a rumor that a boy was having sex with a girl. It's a rumor that a man, boy and a girl were having intimate relations. Yesham Rim Shulchan Aruch says, Shalolich knows to be Shum Lazut Satayim. You shouldn't allow them to marry because this will then confirm the rumor that they indeed have been having intimate relations. Shenireshem Achzikin Hachol. Some take the opposite position, that under these such circumstances you should persuade them to get married rather than. So obviously, this is reflecting different mores in different Jewish societies as to how seriously to regard premarital sex, right? If premarital sex was a great shame for the families and so on, then perhaps. In order not to bring shame on the family, you don't want to confirm this kind of a rumor. But on the other hand, if you're in a society where it was not such an unheard of practice for a boy and a girl not to be able to resist and get into a sexual relationship, then maybe you should do your best to bring about a happy marriage rather than trying to separate the boy and the girl and have each other marry someone else. So, but even though the Shulchan Aruch brings this as a dispute for between these two positions, nevertheless, the Ramah, living in, he was living in Krakow, right? And in the Eastern Europe, Jewish society of Eastern Europe of the 16th century, the regulations and the mores against sex were completely strong. The idea of sex between unmarried people was certainly an anathema, a very big shame. And the attitude towards sex altogether in that community was extremely rigid, as opposed, for example, to many of the Sephardic communities earlier and later that we saw. I should say that since I'm a New Yorker, I occasionally go into the Strand bookstore. And I found a marvelous book there. I was not expecting it. For $4.95, I picked up a paperback book called Eros and the Jews by someone by the name of David Bialik. I strongly recommend this book. It's a really excellent, serious, scholarly piece of work. I wasn't anticipating it. For example, this Shubha the Marami Wittenberg that I have tacked onto my bookcase in my office, that Chaim Salvechik transcribed to me from the manuscript in the Jewish Theological Seminary and from the Malchai Agado. I didn't believe that anybody else was aware of this particular Shubha. There it was, translated into English and presented in this book in the appropriate place. So I strongly recommend this book. I may have a copy upstairs. I'll bring it down and show it to you. So if you want to get some idea of what the attitudes were towards sexual relations and sexual
intercourse. Because when he talks about pnuya, he's talking about a Jewish
woman. Yes, yes. So this is a relatively mild situation. Not unheard of that in a situation, of course, like existed for some time in Eastern Europe, where the groom and the bride didn't meet each other even until the time of the day of the chuppah. This would be a scandal. But if you're talking not in Krakow, but you're talking in Toledo of the 11th or the 12th century, or if you were talking in Sarajevo or in other places, the mores, or in Romania, as we saw, the mores were quite different. At any event, you're quite right. This is not a serious matter on either side, and the question really is one of scandal rather than a serious matter. So the Ramah, but the Ramah takes a strange position here. The Ramah says, "V'hasvara harishona ikar." The first position is correct, namely, if you will, that we should not allow them to marry. And then he adds a big but. But he says, "Umakom sheyesh lafos shalot etzela talbud goah mutalo kalusa." In a situation where this will have serious negative effects on the girl, that she will end up in a bad way, then it's certainly permissible. Okay? B'kol zeh b'kol ba'alma, the Rama says. All of this is talking about gossip. Aval im vaday ba'aleha, if you know for sure that these young folks have had intimate relations, and it's valakamsa. So this is sort of like the position that Shlomo Klugel wanted to take. So that's one Rama that the Rav Shlomo Klugel is talking about. He also has to come to grips with another Rama, which is on my page 10. My page 10 here is called Nidui Achera. These are laws of... how do you translate Nidui? Excommunication is not quite the right word. The sanction is too vague. Some form of banishment or isolation. In any event, it was a serious punishment. However, as a punishment, it was practically the only sanction that existed for the Jewish communities until it began to being taken away from them again in the 17th, 18th, and 19th century. But the Rama was dealing, at least in a time in which the sanction still existed as a powerful threat. And he writes, you have it in at the very end of Siman Aleph, Umenadin, it's about three lines from the bottom in the Rama, one gives, performs the nidui, puts someone in chayav who deserves it. Even if there's a suspicion that this man will actually leave the Jewish fold if he is excommunicated, one doesn't worry about this, one enforces the sanctions of the Jewish community. If a person did something for which he is deserving of punishment, you don't worry that maybe he's going to do something terrible as a result of the imposition of this punishment. That's the Rama's position. Of course, it makes sense in a time in which the Jewish community was firm, was in control of its members.
Shunning
is a good word, yes. Okay. The Taz, who was writing 100 years later, we'll stick with the Gemara, let's see what the Taz has to say on this. To merely Haimil Tatuba. I'm surprised by this ruling of the Gemara. The Hech Nachush Le'isur says that, how can we, whatever crime this man has committed, how can we try to take this crime and put a punishment on him whose consequence would be far worse than the crime? But if he Let's just read down a little bit. He writes, "V'yeshli lahavir raya ipcha." The Talmud oath, "Kal kamen dushin v'mishin in kar lavos kacharim asma da'hanu lachada eitzva shatzachim lechon ka'amar torah shetzarach ligol hotel to contribute a shachol mahalak zevan asek kamal v'lechom aimer zikhu evan achar nafel kol mishalot yevol kum gula tamid lama gula tielov nekal v'choma yishka. The ma'atam shekvar na'asak kol me'alavodas kachadim v'afilu hachi yisira ha'torah v'makom as lekum asay שחייבים לפתור. קל וחומר בזה שעדיין לא התחיל לבוא לסקלפה בכלום, שיטה שצריכים אנו לעשות להיות נסהורים, להיות פתוח בשם ואלפה, לפחות בשם ואלפי זה, ולא לעשות מעשה, להביא על מדי עמוד כוחרים ודאי. זה דבר שאין שווה על הלב לפתור, רואי, או לצאת בסודי, יוטז סיפלי, contradicts the Ramah. Of course, he's reflecting different times. Already, the Taz was a situation in which the Jewish community was no longer so solid and in great control. At any event, Shlomo Kluger is aware both of the Ramah that we saw that contradicts him and that supports him, and the contradictory Ramah which negates him, and the rest of the Shiva is devoted to discussing these two positions, but he sticks with his guns and says that under these circumstances we allow the young, not only do we allow to convert this young couple, but we allow them to marry. Now, as a matter of fact, the Shlomo Kluger was unaware of the Shiva of the Rambam, which comes to a similar conclusion in a similar but not identical circumstance. So let's take a look at the Rambam. Let's look on the very last page of the same
stuff.
No, this is our Shuvah of the Rambam.
What are they, the facetious?
No, the very last page, page 17. Just go to the end of the handout. It's interesting to read this. It's hard to read this. This is a computer printout. This
well, where is this? Where is the Rambam?
This is one of the tshuvas of the Rambam.
Oh, the tshuvas.
It's a tshuva of the Rambam. It's a tshuva of the Rambam. Sheilotu tshuvat Rambam siman Reishu Aleph. And this is a computer printout, and it is a little bit difficult to read for us because the guy who typed it into the computer insisted on putting footnotes in the middle of the text. So every time you see a plus sign, it means that that's a sort of like a footnote coming up at you, and then you have to be able to skip it and get to the next body of the text. But let's read the case first. She'ela. Ma yomar adoneinu b'dvar bachur she'kana shikha yifat Torah v'hi etzlo b'chatzeva. A young man bought a beautiful slave girl. Why not? Those are the times. What a beautiful slave girl. And she's living she's living in his courtyard. Bahatzer Gedola, it's a large courtyard. Vuhu Darsham in Eshet Abir, he's living there together with his father's wife, must be his father's widow. Vishlok Shalosh Benoteha Kano, and her three young daughters. The Nafluv Din Utvarim Beino Uvein Achid. And then he had a fight, he came into a parting of the ways, a fight with his brother. Tav'o ha'ach el ha'shofet. And in fact, his brother sued him. Ve'irav eneihem din udvarim harbet. And they had a lot of litigation. Achar kach hilshin achiv oto el ha'shofet. Then his brother informed on him, it's really got pretty bitter, and informed on him to the local judge, shekana shefano tzviya v'gira, that he bought a Christian slave girl and had her converted. Now remember, this was in a Muslim country where Jews were allowed to have Christian slaves but not Muslim slaves. Of course, in Christian countries, the Jews were allowed to have Muslim slaves but not Christian slaves. So he had a slave girl, and the brother slandered or informed on his brother, saying that this man converted this Christian girl. Okay, now there's a plus there, so we have to skip a little bit to the next three words. It says, "Vehumit yachedim." Not only has he converted, he's reporting to the judge that not only has he converted this Christian slave girl, but he's cohabiting with her. Okay. Now the next plus, we have to skip to the next plus and get back to the text. Ba hashipchal of nehashofei, the slave girl came before the judge. B'sha'ala ha-shofet mahi. The judge asked her, what are you? Amra Yehudia. She said, I'm Jewish. She said, I'm Jewish. Hitzia la ha-pashot. He offered for the slave girl to accept Islam. Once she would accept Islam, then she would automatically become free because a Jew is not allowed to own a... some of an Arabic, has, I don't know the origin of the word, but the meaning is that she would just simply accept Islam. Yes. Okay, now we skip to the end of the next. Plus, Vasarva. She declined. She refused to become a Muslim. Va'amwa, Ani Yehudiya, Bat Yehudiya. I'm a Jewish girl, the child of a Jewish mother. Of course, she wasn't telling the truth. Hichzir otahalo hashofet, v'lakchal leveto. So the judge had no choice but to return this girl to her Jewish master, this young man, and he took her to her house. V'rinina alav ha'ir. And now there are rumors in the town that he is cohabiting with this Jewish slave girl.
Judge?
No, the judge is out of the picture. The community now is spreading a lot of rumors that here's this young man with a beautiful slave girl, and they're living in the same courtyard, and what's going on? Right. She is now living with him in his house. Does the court have to get the slave girl out of his courtyard because he is alone with her? Remember, even though, even if there's only a rumor that perhaps he's cohabiting with her, nevertheless, the fact that you have this beautiful slave girl living with him in the same courtyard